Hello, everybody. My name is Lisa Burwell. I'm your host of V Speaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. And this is a storytelling platform layer of V Magazine celebrating 17 years. And I'm super happy to have a colleague and friend, Mark Little, in the house. Hi, Mark.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Love that you're here.
Yeah.
So we started working together about 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Had known of you, and I think you may have known about us, and we've, you know, crossed paths, but I really, really enjoyed the moment when we started working together, because I think you're one of the best filmmakers and photographers in the area, and probably one of the best, if not the best, filmmaker that I've worked with in my career, which is a long career.
Thank you.
Too long. Oh my gosh. So you're a photographer, a filmmaker, dad of three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Husband, and you're a super cool and interesting guy, and I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Well, thank you. We try to be. No.
Yeah. So we started featuring you in the magazine, sort of like, you know, tying it in. Like,
so glad about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of creeping back into photography.
Yeah.
Or fine art photography.
Right. I remember one of the film making junkets that we were on for our client, EF San Juan at Zuma.
Was that the first one we worked on?
It was Eddie's project.
Okay.
But I don't know if it was Zuma.
No, it wasn't. But that was the
first. But that was
client,
like, you know, in the first year, I think. And there's this beautiful artwork on the wall,
mm-hmm.
and where Jordan and I are talking about it, and then you said, "Oh yeah, that's my artwork."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh, I didn't know you're a photographer too."
You go,
I started out as a photographer.
I get that a lot.
And then I said, "Well, why aren't you a photographer anymore?" And you go, "I don't want to be a photographer." And then I'm like, "You should be a photographer."
That sounds about right. Yeah.
And so you had laid that sort of creative outlet down because you were doing filmmaking because you didn't want to do it right then.
Yeah.
Because of what?
In a way.
You told me then, but I'll let you tell.
I just kind of lost its luster for a while. You know, I think when you put your heart and soul into things, and, you know, it's your own fault for letting it let you down. But in a way, it kind of wasn't just quite where I wanted it to be. And I just got upset with it, you know, and I just needed to step away and just take a sabbatical and reinvent myself, or just, I don't know, think differently about it. But it was just I needed time away from it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's good that you can do that. Because a lot of people can't walk away from something because they think they're walking away from it forever. And maybe at the time you thought you were doing that.
I don't know. I think I kind of always thought I would. I mean, I still took pictures. I did other things, you know, commercially. But as far as what I started in, like landscapes and ocean and all that, I don't know. Kind of just something about it kind of lost the. I didn't say it did it. I mean, it's me. I just didn't connect with it as much anymore. Yeah.
Well, how then when you got back into it, and then is self mm-hmm. the first sort of that? Okay,
it's so
that,
like
that marks the debut of the chapter two.
Yeah, in a way, because I always, so I kind of started in landscapes. I guess outside the water, got into the ocean, did that for a long time. But I always love photographing people. There's just, you know, I can't get away from just, I just like humanity and interesting ways. And so self was kind of the first chance to kind of do that, you know. I think I've always wanted to be a portrait photographer. I think of myself that way, you know. So I thought it'd be a little strange being like, oh, I thought this was like the ocean guy or the landscape guy. You know, now he's doing people, but it's like, it's time, you know. I don't want to just be put in one category of like, this is what I've.
It's good to be undefined.
Yeah, and you want to always move forward. You want to, mm-hmm. you know, just test yourself and try yourself and see, you know, push and see what you can do.
So explain the ethos of that.
Yeah, so
to the
self,
listeners.
So self.
Yeah.
It was kind of like this this idea of who we are. And it's a question everybody's asked forever. It's not anything like a new concept. But for me, I wanted to explore it photographically to see if I could somehow, you know, show an interesting way in which I sort of view how we view ourselves, or in a manner of speaking. Yeah, so it's essentially about where we came from as a kid to where we are now and how we change over time. So how we're the same person, but I'm also very different than I was when I was like 7 years old, you know.
By the way, what were you like when you were 7 years old?
I was pretty rambunctious. Yeah, yeah. But I was a good kid. I really was. I didn't get in a whole lot of trouble. My sister did. Mm-hmm. So I could watch her and know, okay,
don't do that.
Don't do that. she paved the way for good behavior. Uh-huh. So, but yeah, it's just kind of, it's weird, you know, when you look at a photograph of yourself when you're younger, you're like, oh, that's me. It is, but it's not, mm-hmm. you know, and all these things that we go through in life are constantly, I think, carving away at sort of a truer self. As we get older, hopefully we're learning from our mistakes and growing and have more wisdom and experiences. And so it was sort of a homage of what that looks like in a manner of speaking. And there's that one photo, probably my favorite photo, because you asked, you didn't, but like, but I love the photo. It was one of the first ones I had in my head was the birthday cake. Mm-hmm. Just for some reason, it was so rock and roll, you know, mm-hmm. it just had this just cool vibe. Because it was like you're paying respect to your, you know, birth, your former self as you stand there currently. You know, she's mm-hmm. lighting her cigarette on her own birthday cake.
Mm-hmm. That's a cool photo.
Which is, I don't know, it's weird, you know?
Yeah.
It's just kind of like I've been there and paid my respects, but like I'm still moving forward, mm-hmm. you know? I'm different now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So how does it feel now to be back in that realm? Of photography. Yeah.
It's fun.
So you're liking it again.
Yeah, I needed the time off. Yeah. I needed to just kind of get my head around, I think, what I wanted to shoot and how I wanted to shoot it. I don't know if my style has changed a whole lot, which it's fine. You know, it is what it is. But the subject matter keeps evolving. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking of different things I want to shoot, try, mm-hmm. and then, you know, I don't know how to do that. I want to try that. I have no idea. Yeah. So I'm just, you know, I write it all down and I do a lot of voice memos to myself. Mm-hmm. It's just faster.
It's pretty interesting because you do a lot of commercial work. Mm-hmm. And commercial work means, you know, you're on the grind. You're moving and meeting deadlines and all that. So what is your creative process when you're doing your business and you're doing your commercial work and you're making your money, making deadlines? Then when are you conceiving these new ideas?
All the time. Mm. They just come to me. A lot of times I'm driving or editing or, you know, I'm still one of the idiots that smoke. So mm-hmm. I smoke cigarettes. So when I'm having a smoke break, mm-hmm. I can think of a lot of things. I don't know. I just feel like I'm really observant and have, it's just kind of always open to, you know, receiving a good idea. And I don't know. I don't really feel like I go and find them. Mm-hmm. They just kind of happen.
Yeah. I feel the same way about
that. You know,
that.
And I just, I don't know. I don't force it. Don't think too much about it. I just sort of try to keep time management mm-hmm. under wraps, you know. Mm-hmm. I always have those creative projects. And I needed that really in work. So I was doing commercial work nonstop.
Yeah.
But also not doing photography, which was really getting me to almost a burnout place. You know, professionally it was doing great, but then I just wasn't, you know,
fulfilled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think when I reintroduced that, it really helped a lot mm-hmm. because now I'm consciously making decisions on, oh, okay. You know, I have these projects, this, but like, when am I going to go do that fun thing that I want to do, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so it's been really nice.
That's awesome. Yeah. So we hosted a one-man art show for you, mm-hmm. an exhibition, just about 5 weeks ago,
yeah.
which I loved. And we took all of our artwork off the walls and put your work up on the walls. It looked like a very cool gallery.
Yeah,
thank you. We were so happy to do it. You're welcome. I know that night you sold a couple of pieces.
I did.
What has happened after that?
I've had a lot of inquiries. You know, it's one of those, I don't know how people just sell art that to me, it's such a, like if I was to buy art, I would put so much time and thinking like, is this what I want to look at for a really long time? Or mm-hmm. like, what is this person like? Or want to know more. So I've had a lot of those conversations, you know, like, what does this mean? Or what kind, they're interested in a certain type of photos. Mm-hmm. But it's been going great.
So good.
It really has. Yeah. It's funny. I get a lot more. I took all my images offline for one, so that, you know, is hard. But I get a lot of interest in video work, like because I'll make a video about an art series. You know, I'm starting to do that now, which I didn't do before. Mm-hmm. I might have like made a clip or two, but I wasn't really interested in doing that. So, but now it's part of the whole process to try to make a little short film about what I'm shooting. And
then that's how you're selling the work?
In a way, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because people really, it's an easier way to connect to it. We see so many images mm-hmm. on a screen, phone, anywhere, and they're all good. They all look great. But I think seeing a video and seeing a little bit more in-depth look into it is kind of just the way I kind of like to work. So mm-hmm. it's been great. Yeah.
Well, we started working together, as I mentioned a bit ago, with our client EF San Juan mm-hmm. for a series called Real Wood. And from the moment that you took the creative helm of that on film, the series has grown exponentially, and it's really a good marketing tool for the client. But it also is super great filmmaking and cinematic. Mm-hmm. And then for everybody out there, so we'll be on set maybe anywhere from 2 to 4 hours, maybe within 22 and a half hours later, you will send it to us. And I want to know how that happens.
I can't stop working. I'm a workaholic. Well, I structure it that way too. So there's not like any kind of crazy magic, but if I have a project, the next day I structure editing time. I don't like to go back-to-back-to-back projects and not edit. So I try to do it while it's fresh on my mind. Because mm-hmm. I know all the shots. I was right. there. You know, like, oh, that was a good one. That was yeah. a bad one, whatever.
Right.
I'm really, I love that series. I'm really glad that you guys asked me to do it because
it's a good series.
It's just architecture in general is just fun
mm-hmm.
to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And
Eddie,
I just feel like Sanwan, I got it. I was like, oh, I get
does
this.
A good job too. So yeah. it's a good synergy for everybody. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
So on the heels of what you just said about, like, you know, we're not who we are now like we were when we were kids, right? But to some degree. Yeah.
Some degree we are.
To some degree we are.
Yeah.
So much so. And I've actually thought about that fairly recently. Like, there's a lot about who you are as a kid that's going to either equip you to do something or you're not going to be able to do something too, like sure. those experiences.
Right.
So before we got on camera, I asked you, you know, where you grew up in Birmingham mm-hmm. and then you went to school with a business.
Yeah, business management.
Management.
Business okay. administration.
Administration. That doesn't sound fun.
Which is different than I don't know. No, it was not fun.
Administration.
I think I took one or two actual business classes. You know, most of them are just core classes. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So when you were going through college, what were you going to be when you get out?
Well, I wanted to be an FBI agent. You know, I wanted to, you know, I watched too much TV, right? Too many movies. It just looked fun. Like, yeah, I could do
it
this.
It does look fun.
And I'm very intuitive. I mm-hmm. feel like I would make a really good detective, you know?
I think you would.
I read a lot of Hardy Boys books too, so that mm-hmm. probably didn't help. But my parents were hard no on that, uh-huh. you know, and this was kind of still at a time where I still do value my dad's opinion. My mom's passed now, but I really did sort of lean on them in a way to kind of help guide me. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was because I was scared to make my own decision,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of it also had to do with, you know, yeah, they've been around a while. They probably
respect.
Know. Yeah. So, okay. So I don't want to do that. So, I just picked a general business degree. You know, you could do anything with that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do anything with that. You can barely get in the door, you know.
Yeah.
You're like, so what are you good at? Generally nothing. I'm just sort of, you know, I'm trainable.
Administrating.
I'm trainable. Mm-hmm. That's all it said.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, but I got a job right out of college in finance. So contract surety bond underwriting.
Mm-hmm.
So like big construction bonds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you worked in Birmingham at a job?
I worked in Birmingham for about 3 months and then moved to Sacramento.
Okay.
So I was there for like 4 years.
And what was in Sacramento?
But I love Sacramento.
I know, but like, were you working in finance?
Oh, yeah. Same thing.
Okay.
Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
They had a job opening. I could either go to Boston or we could go out to Sacramento. And I like Boston. I've been there, but
Sacramento's
kinda,
nice, too.
Kind of want to go west, you know. So yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was nice. Job was easy.
Okay. Easy. And did you have kids yet?
No. Kids yet.
And were you married?
Married.
Okay.
Glory years. No
yep.
kids.
Yeah.
You could do whatever you wanted. You didn't have to, you know. Mm-hmm. You know. And I love my kids, you know. But
different
there's face. a lot of your life you got to kind of step back from.
So then after experiencing that, how did you get into filmmaking or photography at that time?
I didn't.
You didn't?
I mean, at that time, I did music mainly. Okay. That was kind of the creative. I've always had like a creative outlet happening somewhere in my life to kind of keep me, you know, going.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a musician, is a musician.
What does he play?
Piano.
Okay.
But I never learned anything really from them, you know, from my dad, really. He didn't really want us to play, and my sister didn't really want to, but it was kind of big and like, no band life for you guys, you know, been there, done that.
Oh,
not
yeah.
for you.
I see.
And so, you know, that just makes me want to do it more. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, taught myself guitar over a period of time and just did that. But I didn't start doing photography until Evie, our first child.
Okay.
So that was when dad had, he's still doing photography. He's retired now, but he gave me a EOS 1DS, which is like Canon's digital flagship camera, you know, at the time, probably 4 years ago, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd sort of moved on to bigger and better cameras. And he's like, hey, I'm going to have a grandkid. Here's a camera. Here's a lens. Here's the manual. Read it. Figured out I want some good pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm like, no, Dad, I'm not. No, I don't, you know, I'm not going to learn all this camera stuff. And he's like, just, you know, you'll see. I'm like, okay. Sure enough, you know,
wow.
you have a daughter and you're just like, oh, she's really cute. You know, I got a nice cane and maybe I'll figure it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. And it was just, you know, it just clicked. It was just something I really
liked. Oh, that's really special.
Yeah.
For Evie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took a lot of pictures of her.
That's amazing.
A lot. I had no idea what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Just shot an automatic, you know, just loving it, you know.
And then since then, self-taught?
Yeah, and then I just started reading the manual.
Okay.
You know, so I mean, I don't know. It was there. It was,
yeah.
Told you a lot about the camera and all these cool tricks you could do. I was like, well, that's interesting, you know. And then I would call him, you know, he was kind of Google to me for, you know, the first 6-7 months, you know. Hey, Dad, what do you do if, you know, this lighting condition happens? Or how do you, you know, and there's never one answer, you know. It's like, well, you know, you could do this, or this. And, just started shooting every chance I got.
Wow. Yeah. So then you fell in love with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't want to buy cameras and, you know, just start taking pictures all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then how did you segue from that into film?
I was necessity, you mm-hmm. know. Film was kind of one of those things that everybody wanted to do video, and I didn't know at the time, but I still genuinely believe this, but you have you got the video guys and you got the photo guys, and at the time rarely was it the same guy, you know. Usually it was like, oh, this person does video, this person does photos. It doesn't really, you know, and those cameras then that some they did video, but it wasn't, you know, there was two different things. But I just, at my job at the time, I needed to learn it. And so I did. And I got kind of good at it. And I enjoyed it. And I did them so much, so often, that I really feel like it made me a good videographer because I started as a photographer.
Mm.
Because I could really understand the composition and sort of the lighting and just, I don't know. I feel like it just, the aesthetic is different because I didn't look at it from a video or a filming lens to begin with,
mm-hmm.
which is different. And I know a lot of guys who start in film
mm-hmm.
and they're great, but it just looks different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, just I'm pretty thankful that it kind of helped develop, I think, the style
mm-hmm.
a lot.
So you did a lot of commercial work for like about 7 years. You were doing some hardcore commercial work.
Yeah,
what were you doing?
I was a creative director for Ocean Reef Resorts,
okay.
which is here.
Yeah.
And that was kind of everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
Just everything you can imagine. So I learned to do, again, it kind of have a necessity. We needed images. We needed stuff. It's better for Google if they're not stock images and not stock video. So I would you know, we produced a magazine at the time. So I had to learn food photography. I had to learn, you know, portraits, headshot. I mean, everything.
What was the magazine called again? I forget.
It was called Souvenir Magazine.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. But I didn't know what I was going to shoot from day to day. Like I would be inside shooting interiors, mm-hmm. and then the next day I'd be shooting with the Coast Guard. You know, I'm like, well, how do I do a Coast Guard shoot? What is that? Wow. What do I even do?
Right.
I don't know.
Just what did you do?
I don't know. Just figured it out. But that's kind of a good, my personality too. Like I don't like to plan it too much. I like it just to present itself, you know, in a manner of speaking. I like the song to sort of write itself and be observant and to feel out the scene and to just sort of try to capture what
capturing
it's, what
instead
it's
of.
Me. Yeah, instead of forcing my own thing on it.
Yeah.
At least I try.
Yeah. What is your favorite photo that you ever took?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
No idea.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I think and that kind of goes to the different versions of yourself. You know, I think, you know, I made a gravitate towards like something different 5 years ago as I would now. I don't know.
With social media totally sort of ruling the world, let's say in the last 6 to 10 years, probably the last six, what did that do for your business where everyone wants, well, obviously photos to begin with, architectural,
like commercial,
which by the way, your architectural photos or photography is amazing.
Thank you.
And this book that you gave me here, Dune Lake, we'll show some of the pictures when we end up producing and editing this, but they're really, really beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love architecture.
Yeah.
I didn't even know I would. It was mm-hmm. again, I was shooting interiors for vacation rentals, mm-hmm. which, you know, some vacation rentals are nice. Aren't so nice, but I just really loved it. I love the patterns and the mm-hmm. lines and mm-hmm. I could take my time and learn composition. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just clicked. Mm-hmm. It really did.
So then next level for social would be video. So
yeah.
When that happened, did your breakout for being as super busy as you are right now sort of coincide with that needing to pop, so many people needing to populate video on social?
Yeah, video was huge. Yeah. Okay. All of a sudden it was like people were scattering, like, we need video, oh my gosh, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, which makes sense, but yeah, got a lot of that. And then it got even faster, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, you start out making, I don't know, whatever the attention span was, or the algorithm said, oh, people generally watch for 15 seconds, and I got to like 10 seconds, 3 seconds. And it's a sort of an endless game of attention grabbing, mm-hmm. which I don't really do. I don't excel at that at all. I have a hard time trying to make a video that's going to grab somebody's attention from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just not really how I shoot. You know, it's more for the long play. It's more for a deeper dive.
Mm-hmm. I find that myself personally, and usually when I feel something, I think other people do too.
Yeah.
It's very common that we're all pretty much the same.
Yeah.
I think people have more of an appetite right now to rebuke that.
I do too.
2, 3, 4 second attention span, because everything is so boring.
Yeah.
That then if you like catch something that interests you and then you find yourself getting lost in it for 2 minutes, which is
God forbid
a whole lifetime.
Been sitting here two whole minutes.
Way more interesting, I find.
I think it
changed, and you know, whatever. My own opinion.
There's always gonna be noise and there's always gonna be a way to hopefully cut through that. And I think for me, I like to cut through it, at least commercially, where it's slower, mm-hmm. where it's literally the anti-hero of what's going on with that. We did an ad a long time ago. I remember on the, if you ever go down to Destin,
mm-hmm.
like down, okay, so you know the Jumbotron, mm-hmm. At AJ's? So I was tasked once with an ad, like, hey, we need an ad on the Jumbotron. We're going to have, you know, an ad play. What do we do? It's like, well, you know, so I went down there looking around. I was like, I need to feel it out, you know? So I went down there looking around and it was busy. It was crazy, you know, loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the ads. It's like, hey, you know what I think we should do? I think we should do an ad with no music, and it should just be one shot, and it should be really slow. And I feel like it's going to be so quiet that people are going to where'd the music go?
Yeah, who shut the music off? Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did. It was really cool. We just had a girl sitting in a beach chair reading a book.
Uh-huh. And what was it? Was it for Ocean Reef?
It was just for Ocean Reef, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And people in the club stopped?
Yeah, I mean, I remember, we're testing it. And as soon as it came on, everything just gets quiet. And you just hear the beach.
Yeah, that was
cool.
You
just hear the waves and the wind. And that was the ad, you know.
Outlier. Outliers are always
sometimes,
in style.
Sometimes I think it's easy to get into those mindsets and algorithms. And I get it because that is how people click and statistically. Yeah. But I think trying to stand out as a brand, mm-hmm. you don't have to think within those.
Yeah, I agree.
Those things.
Totally. So filmmaking now. You just finished editing for a movie, a documentary called Jackie Cochran.
Yeah, so I shot it. Most of it. There were some interviews I didn't shoot, but I was the DP on that and did some editing.
And I heard it was really good. I haven't seen it myself. Scoring.
Yeah, it is really good.
You like it.
Yeah.
How long is it?
43 minutes, okay. 42 minutes or something. Good, took a couple years. I mean, Jessica, who directed it, she just, I don't know. The planning, it's not really I don't know how you put all that together. That's, my brain stops at that. But mm-hmm. she did a great job mm-hmm. of just.
Jessica.
Anderson. Yeah.
Anderson, yeah.
So she got the story, which was basically the most famous pilot you've never heard of, mm-hmm. who's broken more records and distance and speed and all sorts of just airplane stuff. And I'm not really, it's mm-hmm. not really my thing, but
and also in nearby Dufuniac, right?
Yeah, she's from Dufuniac. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, her plane is in the Smithsonian.
Wow.
So it's not like she's not really known, right. but like none of us really know it.
Right.
You know, you always think of Amelia Earhart, or you think mm-hmm. of all these like famous pilots that, mm-hmm. this is the sound barrier guy, whatever. This was really interesting.
So is Nancy Hastings is the one that
plays her in the it's like a one woman production play of her life, which is sort of the thread throughout the whole documentary. Mm-hmm. So. And we shot that here.
Here in the Rep, mm-hmm. Which is a place that is near and dear to my heart. Because when I moved here from Boston 33 years ago, I was the marketing director of Seaside. I don't know if you know that.
No.
Yeah. And so in this room that we're in right now, we would have a Merchants Association meeting every Thursday from like 2 to 4. And so all the merchants in town, would come in here and I would have to deliver a marketing report. And I was from New England, mm-hmm. and they were not, or vice versa.
How was the accent back then?
Mine?
Yeah.
I never had a really, really bad accent to begin with because I was on the speech and debate team in college, and I had speech coaches to mm-hmm. knock it out of me. But every now and again, even now, if I get really tired, mm-hmm. A word will just fly out, and I'll just say, where did that come from? Because it's not the prettiest accent in the world. But
says who?
I'm kind of glad that I shed that, to tell you the truth. Well, but anyway,
I feel you. I'm from Birmingham, so I. Yeah.
Well, no, that's not the same. Yeah. Birmingham's a much nicer, smoother sounding accent than hardcore Bostonians. But anyway, so this room is like, near and near. And every time, even when Seaside is really busy, and sometimes I think it, became too commercial, mm-hmm. and it's not what it was when I first moved here. Every single time I get out of my car. Mm-hmm. And my feet hit the ground, and I remember I lived in Ruskin Place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just go, wow. Like, for me, it holds so many memories.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful to the Rep for letting us film season 5 in here.
Yeah.
Lots of changes going on with everybody, myself included.
Yeah.
The Rep and lots of people, that I know. It's a big an upending of some things with new things starting again.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we're here.
Yeah. Change doesn't have to be bad. It can be good.
Yeah.
I used to be so afraid of it. So afraid of it. But now I just
embrace it.
I mean, I say that, it depends on, you always have varying degrees, but I do try to consciously be like, you know what? Okay.
Change is not bad. I've determined over time. If you have money, change is not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
If you
Here's how it works, money changes, a horrible
horrible thing.
Yeah,
and really, like at a core level,
this is true.
That is truth. Yeah. You know, you have to just keep that machine going, and you know, have it.
Definitely makes it a lot harder without it. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot harder without it. Yeah. And so much going on with but as a business owner myself, and obviously you too, we are also in the business of generating money.
Yeah.
Because you can't keep doing what we do without generating
it. At some point,
right?
You got to make a dollar, yeah.
at some point, like every 5 seconds, you have to make a dollar now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of so much more boring to me than it used to be. Like literally, you could like worry about making like, oh, I have to make a nut for a month or two. Mm-hmm. Literally now, because it goes so fast, you literally have to play this money Russian roulette game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In real time. It's not even like, you know, it's just, it's almost comical.
Yeah,
I have embraced the comedy of it.
Yeah.
But also when beset with any challenge, I will figure out how to figure it out.
Yeah.
And so thank the dear Lord above that I still have like the hustle and tenacity.
That's a great mindset.
To be able to do
know
it.
That you can. And just and like, you I'm can, going to figure it
and
out.
And you can, and I'm going to figure it out, which is weirdly, and you brought up something like struck such a chord in me because I'm the oldest of six who are like all like 13 months apart or something like that. So, you know, your childhood can form you. Mm-hmm. I had to figure a lot of things out in that pecking order in that situation. And my family was like, lived in Boston before we moved to this, you know, rich town that we ended up going to high school in and all that. But we were kind of on the other side of the tracks, but we still like, you know, were in this like ridiculously wealthy town on Cape Cod. But back then when I was in the city, young, I think I moved when we were 12, I liked ice skating.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go ice skating. Oh, we went ice skating every Saturday and Sunday. My dad would take us to the MDC skating rink. And at the end of the rink, there would be like a little skinny rope. And all the people that could afford to be learn to take ice skating classes were there.
Yeah.
And so I would keep circling it. And at like 9, 10 years old, I would look and I'm like, well, I can still see what the instructor is telling them to do. So if I just stand on this other side of the rope
you can,
and I mimic it,
well,
I'm like, I figured that out at a very young age of something that I wanted to do and learn that I couldn't technically afford as a kid.
Yeah.
So then the entire rink would follow me and we were all doing it.
You're just pitching off this guy's
but
lessons.
Then I got yelled at and
Of course,
I got popped off the head because the guards were like, no, you're not supposed to do that. And I learned and I'm like, God, even as a kid, I thought,
why not?
Why can't I do that?
Yeah.
Because I understand now, really.
Yeah.
Because it's a caste system.
Yeah.
And if you can't, you know, figure anyway, whatever. But to some degree, a lot of how you are as a kid is going to either help you or hurt you when you're trying to figure out adult things.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. I think a lot of tenacity sort of develop when you're little.
Yeah.
And you, I don't know, you either know how to wield it and you just don't when you're a kid, but hopefully that as you grow, you can kind of figure out how to.
Yeah. But, and the point of that is, at first I thought that was an adversity and I thought it was really bad in different things that would happen like that. And then as I got older and I'm my older self, right? Yeah. I look back at my younger self and I'm like, huh, if I didn't have to be met with various challenges like that, I would not have learned how to do what I do now.
Exactly.
Basically figure things out.
The hard stuff is the greatest stuff.
The greatest stuff,
when you're out of it, especially, it's easy to say that, you know.
But it really is. It really is.
That's the point of it's a way that's telling you, hey, like something needs to change or something's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to face some kind of something. And the pain is always, you know, we always want to avoid it. But and we do, even me, like when stuff comes up, I want to avoid it.
Right.
But I also know that, you know, this is probably showing me something.
Right.
This is probably something I need to work on. This is...
I know one example when I bumped into you that something was showing something to you when you had, and I won't say names, but the gig you had at, I can't really say what it was, but were you...
with that place with a guy with a thing?
No.
Yeah.
Where the New York ad agency hired you?
Last summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
That wasn't fun, right?
That was not fun.
No.
No. I did get very angry.
But what did it teach you on
I
that
I got
one?
Very angry with that.
It taught you something.
To ask more questions.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. technically still not my fault, but, right. you know, mm-hmm. technically and legally, but, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
Should double check everyone's sort of,
expectations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure? Right. Because, you know.
Yeah. Because I own this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just so you know. Right. Yeah. You don't, I do. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So did working on and filming Jackie Cochran, open up and birth something in you where you want to get into more filming?
Yes, I think I've always wanted to do that in a longer form. Like, I like making short videos, but it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can kind of see more of the process and I really like to take the time mm-hmm. to do things. Mm-hmm. And you don't get that a lot in commercial work. A lot of times it's got to have it, you know, we got 4 hours, that's yeah. it, you know, we got the yeah. place for only so long.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only day we can shoot right. it. And you get that too yeah. when you're shooting, but yeah. But it's just different.
Right.
You know, the pace is different.
Right. What's the dream that you really would like to do in the future creatively?
I'd like to travel the world and do architectural photos and sell art.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Architectural awesome. Video too. You don't see a lot of that. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, but either one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Parting words of wisdom to somebody that wants to do what they want to do.
Do what you want to do. Yeah. The end.
The end.
No, really. Don't get so hung up on comparisons. I think that happens a lot now. It always happened, but especially there's so much to look at. There's so many, you know, good photographers out there, artists mm-hmm. in different forms, and it's really easy to be like, oh, I'm not as good as that person, or I don't even know how to do that, or how do they get this gig and I don't get that, you know. Just do you, you know. And that sounds so yeah. kind of stupid, but it's true. Just really try to tune yourself to what am I good at, what am I really interested in, and do it. And mm-hmm. just and it actually, you know, take the time to mm-hmm. consistently to do it, mm-hmm. to practice.
And be good at it, because I think with you, you know, self-taught and just watching your methodology and what you do, you really want to be good at what you do.
I do.
And you are really good at
Thank
what you.
You
do.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it shows, Thank you know, you. Like that extra, that heart really wow. does come through.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's, I learned from a audio engineer, a friend of mine, years ago. We're in the studio mixing music, and a lot of cool stuff of how to even get to, you know, make tracks and everything. But he told us, he said, look, the last, like every, there's a lot of engineers, a lot of bands that can get to like 90% where it's amazing. Good song, good hook, sounds great. But that last 10% mm-hmm. is really what makes the difference between a good track and a great track. And I've always remembered that. And mm-hmm. I feel like I try to do that with video too. Even if it's just mm-hmm. a little detail, no one's going to know. Mm-hmm. It's going to really see this, but they add up. And I feel like you are able to invest a different type of energy into what you do. And hopefully it comes across that way when people are like, ah, you know, it just resonates different. Like mm-hmm. they see it and like, oh, there's something a little bit different about this.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it's just because I've worked that much mm-hmm. longer on mm-hmm. it, you know.
Well, thank you for being a guest here. I've enjoyed it immensely.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Good combo.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, have a great day. So glad to be speaking with Mark Little. And please check out all of his work online. He is a very gifted and amazing filmmaker and photographer and an overall good guy. Have a good day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thanks.